Time now for the Seattle Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on your exclusive home for Thunderbirds hockey. 1090 KJR.
And we're back. It's another season of Thunderbirds hockey, and we get it going with the first new episode of the Coaches Show, just in time for the season and home opener this weekend. So join me, along with guest co-host Andy Iden, and of course the head coach, Matt Audette, next on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
Now back to the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show, a weekly look inside T-Birds hockey and the WHL. The Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Audette.
Well, welcome to the first show of the 2018-19 Thunderbirds season ahead of the opener. The coach, Matt Audette, here with us, ready to get going, and our guest co-host for this week, Andy Iden, who covers hockey in the Seattle area with a really large blanket under many different umbrellas. I can throw a lot of cliches in there, and I was going to say he wears many hats, but I've only known him to wear the one hat, but a lot of hockey under it. As you know, the home and season opener coming up this Saturday at the Accesso Showwear Center. That's a 6 o'clock start. That's new this season. Saturday home games beginning an hour earlier than they have in the past. You know, the T-Birds listen to their fans, put out a questionnaire, and this is one of the responses they got back. Of course, that home opener begins early, though, with the party on the plaza. So you really want to be here probably at 6 o'clock at 3 o'clock for that 6 o'clock start and enjoy all the festivities. Ahead of that, though, the coach, along with the newly named team captain, Nolan Vulcan, and Coolbird, will join the mayor of the city of Kent, Dana Ralph, along with the members of the city council tomorrow at noon at Kent City Hall for the ceremonial T-Birds flag raising to celebrate the opening of the new season. So just some of the things ahead of the drop of the first puck. So a lot of things coming up. And if you want to know about all the promotions this season, go to the T-Birds website at seattlethunderbirds.com. Tickets, of course, available for the home opener as well as all games throughout the season. Don't forget, Two for Tuesdays are back, and the first of those coming up October 16th against Tri-City. So SeattleThunderbirds.com, and tickets always available at the box office at the Showwear Center. Okay, Matt, it's time to get you going here. You're back for a second season behind the bench. You know, it's always hard to be that guy, I think, to take over for a team coming off of a championship season some continuity there for 4 or 5 years. You were an assistant with Steve Konowalczyk. You had to take over for a team that had graduated out nearly 400 points from the roster. But I think conservatively, we can say you did more than a commendable job because not only did you step into this new position with the organization, but you had to find two new assistant coaches to break them into the coaching ranks. Both assistants Kyle Hagel and Kasten Sommer came directly from their playing days. So was this off season with kind of that hectic part out of it, was it a little more relaxing for you, or is always going to be a hectic off season?
Well, it was definitely less hectic, obviously, with the hiring process, and you know, hiring new assistant coaches as well. Made for a busy summer last summer. This summer was not as quite as much to do, but there's always preparations happening going into the season. We needed to import players, so that was a big part of the summer. There was some changes going on in the front office and different things. So, always stuff going on, and you want to be as prepared as you can for the season. So it went well, and we're ready to get to the good stuff.
You mentioned there was some change in the front office, and the most significant of that being the hiring of Bill LaForge as the general manager, replacing Russ Farwell. Russ moving on to the vice president of hockey operations. I don't know who the president is. We know who the vice president of hockey operations is. Talk about, no pun intended, forging a relationship with the new general manager, Bill LaForge, and how that dynamic has worked so far as we head into game one.
Well, it's been pretty smooth. Hockey's a small world. Bill and I played together back in junior, way back in the day. So we did know each other previously. We didn't keep very close contact over the years, but we'd bump into each other every now and then and say hello. But, it's been smooth. His philosophy is right on par with my philosophy and the type of teams and players that we like. So it's been very seamless that way. And Bill, was a great guy, very intelligent hockey mind, and we've been clicking ever since.
Training camp, let's talk about that a little bit, just because it doesn't seem like there's too many surprises on your opening day roster. I don't think anybody's on that roster. We didn't anticipate making the team. There were some late trades, and those guys are part of that trade. Craig coming in, the Mike McLean deal, and maybe a couple of other guys that were brought in. But as far as prospects, I don't think there's really any too many surprises coming out of training camp, out of the preseason, for your roster. So a lot of those guys who were with the team last year.
Yeah, for sure. I think we had a good idea what we had coming in to start the season. I think one of the surprises would be Jared Davidson, 16-year-old that's done well thus far in preseason and managed to make the team here to start. So that's one of the surprises so far. But as far as the other guys, we had a good idea that they'd be here. And guys like Tyrell Bauer and Peyton Mount were, this is – their year to start their WHL career, so we're excited about those guys, and I think overall we're pretty happy with the depth of our team, and we're very optimistic moving forward.
And Peyton Mount is a guy that has a lot of anticipation, obviously, as a former first-round pick. Those old guys always have anticipation. He seems like a guy down the road as a top-six type of forward, but I'm assuming this year you kind of want to protect him a little bit because he is still 16. How do you see his season, as far as where he starts in the lineup and where he may end up?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's excited about Peyton. We want to put him in situations where he can have success. He's had a little bit of a tough preseason so far. He was ill for a while with that illness that was going around our team. So it set him back a little bit, and he's just starting to get going again. But we see him. I think he's a guy that can mix in on any line. If he were to play on one of the top two lines and fit in there, he would be able to do a good job on those lines, as well as contribute on one of the bottom six lines. So we'll put him in situations where he can have success, and there's going to be a learning curve for obviously any 16-year-old. So we'll be patient with him, and he's a good kid, hardworking kid. So I think all the skill development and knowledge of the systems will come very quickly for him.
Again, you're listening to the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with the head coach, Matt Odette, our guest host, Andy Ide, with us as well. T-Birds head into the opening weekend of the regular season with the home opener and season opener Saturday at 6 against the Portland Winterhawks. Don't forget the party on the plaza begins at around 3 o'clock, so you want to come out for that. We mentioned a little bit, the new assistant coaches to start last year with both Kyle and Kasten. Now they've had a year under their belts. Any changes in some of their duties? Have you added to, restructured anything, or is it status quo as far as this season and last season?
It's pretty much status quo. I think everyone's just getting to know each other and the flow of how we do things every day last year. And this year we've got all that under our belt, so it's pretty seamless. We know how our practices work, we know our drills, we know our systems. So it's we've hit the ground running this year, and it's been pretty good so far that way. I guess anything that's changed, I think Kasten's helping out a little bit more on the power play. He's got a good mind for that. So other than that, it's status quo, and it's pretty smooth so far this year.
And people probably wouldn't think that an equipment manager or a hockey ops guy are going to have that significant an impact, but they are integral to the success of a team because they're involved significantly. You've had some changes in those categories as well.
Yeah, we've been laughing about our training camp so far. There's been quite a bit of adversity. Like you said, the equipment manager, we had a couple changes there, but we've kind of rolled with the punches. And I think with that and the illness and some injuries, and it seems like we can't catch a break so far in training camp and preseason. But we've dealt with the adversity, we've gone with the flow, and we're doing all right.
One thing that has changed league-wide in the Western Hockey League, which brings them into compliance, or at least into the same system as the Ontario Hockey League and the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, is paring down the schedule from 72 games to 68. So they've lopped four games off, two home games, two road games. I think as a coach, that maybe you're probably for that. It keeps your team a little bit fresher. The oddity of that is that Seattle, because they want to keep those rivalries, haven't reduced the number of games against Portland. They're still going to be 12. The number of games against Everett, they're still going to be 10. So 22 games, or a third of your schedule, is going to be against those two division rivals. And I looked at the schedule. Eight of the last 13 games, I don't want to get too far ahead, but eight of your last 13 games are going to be against those two teams. It's going to make for an intense final month of the regular season, and as far as playoffs and position, it's going to ride heavily on the games against those two opponents. But as a coach, you know, you want to get your guys fired up for an opposing team. Not going to be difficult to get fired up to play Portland and Everett.
No, definitely not. Obviously, two big rivals there. I think it's good that you know, the schedule's gone down four games. I think less 3-3s and things like that throughout the season will be helpful for our guys long term. You know, it's still the same amount of guys against our rivals, which, you know, the U.S. division we know is very good every year. So it'd be nice to play some other teams a little bit more. But, you know, I mean, that's the way you want it. You control your own destiny, so to speak, within your division. If you can play well against those teams that you're battling with, you'll have a good chance to, you know, be high in the division standing. So great for the fans. You know, we get fired up for those games. So I think it's a win-win situation.
And those games are always intense. They're usually bigger crowds, both here and away, both in Everett and Portland. For a young junior hockey player, what does that do for their development? Playing in a kind of a high stakes, big emotion, big game. What can that do for a player's development as they move on?
Well, it's important. I think you know, just being in junior hockey and facing the junior schedule, it's kind of mini pro, mini NHL, and to be in you know, boisterous, loud buildings with big crowds, you know, it definitely prepares you for what you might see, you know, in the NHL one day, and it's a good experience. So it's nice to have those big rivalries where the fan support is there, and it's good for guys' development.
Hey, a reminder, the home opener coming up on Saturday versus Portland, 6 o'clock start here at the Accesso Show War Center. We're going to take a break, second half of the show, more of a breakdown and talk about some of the players on the roster. You're listening to the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This is the Thunderbirds Weekly Coaches Show on 1090 KJR.
Back for the second half of our inaugural edition of the weekly Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show for the 2018-2019 season, along with the head coach Matt Audette and our guest co-host Andy Ide. Andy, I know you have been dealing a lot with hockey and the potential of the NHL coming to the Seattle area. You've had some terrific articles written with some of the people involved in that, and we're going to expect more from you in that regard. But tell us, just kind of update what you know about the next step in the process for NHL to Seattle. I know they've got a vote coming up fairly soon in Seattle.
Yeah, Monday the 24th is the full Seattle City Council vote to approve the new arena at the Seattle Center. Last week it got approved by the Committee on Civic Arenas, and that was a 7-0 vote. There's only nine council members, so it's pretty much assumed that vote on Monday is going to go the way that OVG wants it to, which will be the last hurdle in the political process here. So basically that's going to be give them the green light to take over the key arena site now and begin demolishing it sometime between October and December. October 2nd, the NHL Seattle Group is going to fly out to New York and make a presentation to the NHL Executive Committee from their Board of Governors with about eight owners from the NHL there. And I don't know if we're going to hear an official yay or nay at that point. We may have to wait until December when the full NHL Board of Governors meets to hear the official vote. But everything's pointing towards a positive result there.
And your most recent interview was with Todd Lewicki. People want to read that terrific article. Where can they find it?
It's on NHLToSeattle.com. And he's an interesting guy. We're actually going to have a second part of that interview coming out next week sometime so with some more information where he talks more about practice facilities, training facilities, American Hockey League teams, and also how he sees the NHL team partnering with the hockey that's already here, junior hockey, youth hockey, and things like that.
And Matt, one of the questions you hear so often in regards to the NHL coming into the area is how it will affect the Seattle Thunderbirds and the Everett Silvertips, the two major junior teams here. And for the uninitiated, it seems to be as Andy said, there can be a partnership there, and it can only help create more interest in the game at all levels.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. We want to turn more people on to hockey. I think it puts more attention on the game in this area. Uncover new fans, I think, will help all of our team's markets. We'll get more kids playing hockey from a young age, and they turn into lifelong hockey fans. So I think it's great for everybody. The more hockey, the better, in my mind. And it's just such a big area. There's plenty of hockey to go around. Once the fever hits, and I think it will. Once people get exposed to hockey a little bit more, I think it's going to take off.
This past spring, the Thunderbirds used a ninth-round Bantam selection on Mekhi Sanders, who's from Gig Harbor, Washington. He was at training camp. He's already a signed guy, but he has to go back to Detroit to play against that top competition. Eventually, with the NHL coming, with the interest in the game growing, players like that that Seattle can draft or want to play in the Western Hockey League won't have to go away from the local area to do that, to get that attention.
Yeah, that would be nice. It'd be great for local hockey players to have a competitive level to play at, and it'd be great for us. I think we're at somewhat of a disadvantage that we can't pluck local kids from our area. Every team that we play against, most of them, minus maybe some of the U.S. division teams, can find guys in their own backyard, and hopefully one day we'll be the same. I know there has been a few local players play for Everett and Seattle, but it'd be nice to have that competitive league right in our backyard where we can bring in some homegrown players.
Yeah, one of the hopes is that not only would they build this practice rink for the NHL team, but other rinks around the area. Just as if, for instance, you grew up in the Toronto area, I mean, within walking distance, how many, and that's kind of being facetious, but rinks were there as opposed to here in the Seattle area where there's so few, you had obviously a better opportunity to get ice time.
Yeah, for sure. I think in Canada it's a little bit different. I think every kid, once they're able to walk, every kid automatically plays hockey. It's just the way it is, similar to baseball here, I would guess. But, I think in Oshawa alone there was probably 12 to 15 rinks for a city that has 120,000 people. So lots of opportunity and ice time for kids to get on the ice, and there's just not enough of that here yet. And I agree, if we can get more rinks built and more excitement for hockey, there'd be more opportunity for kids to play.
Well, that is the future. Let's talk about the present, and the T-Birds going into their home opener on Saturday at 6 o'clock. Coming off of a year in which you went 34-28-8-2, which I think a lot of people were surprised that this team finished a year after winning a championship and losing so many of the top players that they finished above 500. I don't think the coach is surprised by that, but what would you deem a success this season? Would it be a similar record? Obviously, the easiest thing to say is, well, more wins, less losses, and a longer playoff run. But there are other ways to measure success for a team that probably is going to be a little bit younger maybe even than you were last year. What are some of the other areas where you would deem it a success?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. We've definitely bumped up our expectations and our standards a little bit more. Yes, of course, we'd like to have more wins and go farther in the playoffs, but we want to see improvement and development in our guys. Like you said, we do have a number of young players. We want to see them get opportunity and see their game grow and develop. You always have to have that kind of that pathway and that pipeline of developing players. I think from year to year you need to have improvement in your guys, and otherwise you'll be stagnant. And so that's a big part of it, developing our players so we see improvement from year to year and from the start of the year to the end of the year. It's amazing how quick some of these guys can develop over the course of just a few months. So we're looking for all those things to happen, and play T-Birds hockey. We have a certain identity that we live by, and we want to continue that and ramp it up even more.
The year that we won the championship, 2017, the team scored 250 goals and then lost over 400 points almost from that roster, and people were going into last season saying, how's this team going to score? Yet you actually scored almost as many goals during the regular season last year, 250, as you did in that championship year. So you had a way to get offense, and a lot of that offense is actually returning. You have four of your top six and seven of your top 11 scorers from a year ago back this season. And it's led by three 20-year-olds, and just the way the roster developed that you had coming back this year, potentially every one of your 20-year-olds coming back were going to be forwards. You didn't have any defensemen in that 98 age group, and you had to make a couple of decisions on Blake Barger and Mike McLean, and you pared down to those three 20-year-olds that you have coming back. But you still have to replace the leadership of Niles Ottenbright and Strand. And we've already mentioned you've named Nolan Volkan, who's coming back as your leading scorer, as your captain, but you've got Philp and Andrusiak, and that's a lot of potent offense in your top six when you add in some of the other returning players.
Yeah, for sure. It's a nice problem or situation to have. I think last year I think I would put myself in the same boat wondering where the goals were going to come from, but guys emerged and you know, improved their games, developed their games, and became offensive players. And you know, now we know we have a good idea of you know, where that offense is going to come from this year, and you know, we'll be looking for guys to step up and become secondary scorers. I guess that would be somewhat of a question mark: who's going to be chipping in, you know, that second tier of scoring. So we're working on that, and you know, we think some guys will take the next step. Obviously, Peyton Mount. You know, was an offensive player. We're not going to have huge expectations for him, but he's a guy that can chip in. Dylan Hamilock, we expect to make a big step that way as well. Sam Huo, I mean, I can go on and on. Scoring by committee, we expect guys to all take steps in that regard, and I think our depth up front especially is better than it was a year ago. I think we'll be able to put four solid lines together that, you know, all feel comfortable putting on the ice at any time. So we're optimistic there, and it'll be interesting to see what guys step up and take on more of a scoring role.
And one of those guys in the top six that we haven't really talked about is one of your new imports, Andre Kukucha, who by all accounts for the preseason looks like he's ready to fill in and be one of those scorers. I believe he scored and got a point in all but one of your preseason games. It looks like he's a really good fit. He's been strong on the power play for you in the preseason. Obviously, you never know when those guys come over how they're going to adjust, but how have you seen him so far? Everything looks good from the outside looking in on him, but how has he been as far in your eyes?
He's been good. You know, it was a great find there. You know, Bill did a good job uncovering him, and you know, he's been as advertised. We knew he was an offensive player that could score. You know, we didn't expect it to maybe happen quite this much, quite so early, but, you know, to have that right shot kind of shooter mentality is always valuable, especially on the power play. You know, so preseason and regular season is a different story. Obviously, the pace is going to ramp up, and he's going to get a little bit more attention now that he's not under the radar anymore. So he'll have to, you know, ramp it up a notch. You know, step up his kind of work ethic and battle level, because it's going to be that much more intense, so it won't be quite as easy for him. So I think he's up for the challenge. He'll be playing with some good players, so definitely a nice addition, and, you know, we'll look for him to contribute some offense for us.
A couple of areas to touch upon before we end our first coaches show of the season. You had two 20-year-old defensemen last year. Your oldest defensemen this year are a couple of 19s. Unfortunately, they're both dinged up. I know you played a preseason game here last weekend where the oldest defenseman was 17. So not knowing the status of Tishke and Harsh, it's a pretty young defensive group. Was there any thought to maybe getting a 20-year-old, or were you satisfied with the 19-year-olds you had and you want to get those young guys the ice time?
No, I don't think there was any talk or thought of getting a 20-year-old. We were pretty happy with the group of 20s that we had. You know, ideally, yes, we'd like to have the two 19-year-olds in the lineup. We didn't necessarily foresee that happening, and that's kind of part of the adversity that we were talking about. But hopefully we can get those guys back sooner than later. And it's just more opportunity for the other guys. We want to see our young guys play and develop, and you know, we've been under the gun somewhat in preseason with 5D most nights, so they've been able to get a lot of ice time and get up to speed. So all they're young and gaining experience each and every day, and you know, we'll look for those guys to step up and do a good job.
Lastly, the goaltending situation. The first half of last year, it was a goaltending situation in flux. We're kind of rotating and juggling healthy and unhealthy goaltenders. And it was the second half when Liam Hughes got healthy that you got solidity on the back end. And obviously he's back now for his 19-year-old season, just back. All the word I've heard is that he had a good showing at Flyers camp in the NHL. You got to be happy that there's that one guy that you can hopefully rely on for an entire season.
Absolutely. You know, it's obviously an important position. It's tough to win games when you don't have solid goaltending. And, you know, Liam being in there gives us an opportunity to win each and every night. And you know, from what we've seen from the other two guys, they're more than capable of winning games for us as well. So, you know, we're pretty solid in that position. Feel pretty good about that. And, you know, I know Liam's excited to take the reins and get going.
Well, that's going to do it for this first edition of the Weekly Coaches Show for the 2018-19 season. A reminder, tomorrow at noon, join Matt along with the new team captain Nolan Volkan and Coolbert at City Hall for the raising of the T-Bird flag. And then, of course, the home opener Saturday at 6 against the Portland Winterhawks here at the Accesso Showwear Center. I want to thank the coach and our special co-host, Andy I, for joining us. And don't forget to tune in to myself and Tim Pagulski Saturday for that game against Portland to open up a brand new season of Seattle Thunderbirds hockey right here on Sports Radio 1090 KJR.
This has been the Seattle Thunderbirds Coaches Show with Tom Boyning and head coach Matt Audette. Join us again next Thursday night at 6 on your home for Thunderbirds hockey, 1090 KJR.